Mark chapter 4. If you have a marker, put it there in Mark chapter 4. We'll go to a few other places, but we'll come back here from time to time. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was telling a parable. And it started off, you know, as a simple kind of a story. By now, the disciples had figured out that when Jesus starts telling a story, it's not just a story. There's more to it than this. Well, in this, Mark chapter 4, it says in verse 1 that Jesus began to teach by the seaside, and a whole lot of people were gathered around him. And verse 3, it says, "Hearken," or "listen up. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." And then he continues on with this story. Well, after the story was over, the disciples came to him, and they said, "Lord, we don't understand this. You need to explain this to us. We need some help here." And Jesus said in verse 13, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" Now here's what's interesting. In that short little phrase, Jesus is telling us that we have the capacity to understand every parable he has told. All of them. You ever read something that he told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of those parables? And you come away thinking, what on earth is he talking about here? I don't have a clue. Well, Jesus is saying right here that we have the capacity to know all parables, to understand them. And he also is cluing us in that understanding this particular parable is a key to unlocking the rest of the parables. Well, we're not going to dwell on that so much this morning, but let's continue on here. He says, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We'll stop right there. Now, we're going to focus on verse 20. He said, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, in this verse 20, it talks about, you know, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that probably all of us in this room and the majority of all the people that will hear this on tape, they've heard messages about 30, 60, and 100-fold. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. Heard those 30, 60, and 100-fold messages. And have you ever gotten really excited when you heard one of those? Yes, I know you have. Because it's easy to hear a message like that and then get all worked up and say, yeah, 30, 60, 100-fold. Woo! I'm going to get 30, 60, 100-fold. But have you ever stopped and think about a 30, 60, or 100-fold of what? Of what? Well, it tells you right in here. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The 30 and the 60 and the 100-fold fruit that he's talking about bringing forth is the word. That's what he's talking about here. It's the word. It's not your money. And I'm telling you right now, with all due respect to myself and anybody else that has preached, sow your money to get a 30, 60, 100-fold return on your money. We've been wrong. Those of us who preached that in the past, we were wrong. Because Jesus is talking here specifically about the Word. And therefore, the 30, 60, and the 100-fold return is directly related to God's Word, not other things. You know, people, you ever heard somebody stand up and give a testimony? How that they gave their car away to somebody. And then a few days later, a week or so later, somebody came along and gave them a brand new car. And folks hear something like that and they get all excited and all worked up because they know out there in the parking lot is this rusty, beaten down, cracked windshield bucket of bolts held together with I Love Jesus bumper stickers. Every time they start it up, this big smoke cloud comes out the back end that looks like an atomic bomb went off in the trunk. And they get this grand and glorious idea. I know what I'll do. I'll give this to someone. And I'll get a new Cadillac in return. Well, first off, nobody wants that. But anyway, they go ahead and they give it. A couple of days go by. No car. A couple of weeks go by, no car. A month goes by, no car. Not even a bicycle. Nothing. And the reaction is to get mad at the preacher who preached it. Odds are that preacher never stood up and said, "You give your car away and God's going to give you a car back." Odds are he was simply sharing a testimony. And all that I can think of those kinds of stories is because God told them to give that vehicle to somebody. So they were just simply acting out of obedience, see? This 30, 60, and 100-fold return that he's talking about here is directly related to the Word. That means everything that you receive in that area of 30, 60, and 100-fold, everything that you receive has to be related to the Word. It can't be outside those boundaries. Okay? Now, I want you to look in this again. There are three things in verse 20 that are specifically identified. Hearing, receiving, and bringing forth. Hearing, receiving, and bringing forth. And then he has the word fruit at the end of the bringing forth. Hearing, receiving, and bringing forth. Well, the hearing, receiving, and bringing forth are all related to the Word. Specifically to the Word. You can't say that the hearing and the receiving are related to the Word, but the bringing forth is related to something else. See, it doesn't work that way. You have to keep all of this in context. And so the fruit that he's talking about is a 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit or product of the Word, not something else. Now, when you hear the Word, if you look here in this verse 20 again, he talks about hearing the Word, such as hear the Word. When you hear the Word, it's not just a matter of hearing the Bible. Let me put it like this. You cannot hear the Word without also hearing what it can produce. Okay? So whenever you hear a sermon, now we're making an assumption here that this is a sermon or a lesson or something along that line being taught within within a church or a school or whatever kind of a setting where the people are committed to Jesus Christ. Not just they say they are, but they are. And this could even be non-spirit-filled people. But you take that sector of the body of Christ, and when they stand up and begin to teach and preach the Word of God, it's not only the Word of God that you're hearing, but you're also going to hear what the Word of God can produce. Okay? For example, you must be born again. All right? That's the Word of God, but it's also telling you what it can produce. You must be born again. All right? Right along with this same token, when you're hearing the Word, you're also hearing what it can produce. Therefore, based upon that knowledge, you then are held accountable for the fact that you not only know the Word, you also know what the word can produce. Therefore, you cannot stand up and say, I didn't know that. You did know it, because it was delivered unto you. What you did with it, you know, that's totally up to you. For example, nobody that's ever sat in a service and heard the gospel message, as we refer to it, preached, is going to be able to stand up in front of God and say, I didn't know. They'll say, yes, you did. You were walking by that street corner at lunchtime right there in downtown, and you heard that fella on top of that bench standing there preaching my word, telling you Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, and you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You heard that, and you didn't do anything with it. So see, nobody's going to be able to stand up before God and say, well, you know, I didn't know. Once you've heard, you then know. It's then up to you to do something with it. All right, now, in this verse 20, he says, hear, receive, and bring forth fruit. And he's talking specifically about the Word of God. Now look back up in verse 14. Do you see what Jesus says about the Word? He said, the sower soweth the Word. Alright? Now the Word of God, therefore, in this, as we understand it, based upon this parable, the Word of God is compared to a seed. Amen? Alright, now I want you to take a look. Well, I don't think you're going to be able to take a look. Trust me. Okay, do you see this? Say, yeah, sure, Pastor, do I see that? Do you see this? Do you see that? Put this up against... Yeah, it looks like... You see that little thing between... You don't see it. Well, this is going to be a better illustration than I thought. Okay, do you see this? Everybody, Steve's back there. Somebody give Steve some glasses. Gray's throwing back there too. A pair of binoculars. All right. Everybody say, Steve, he really does have something in his hand. See this? All right. What is this? Very good. You, man, this is great. You guys are right on top of everything. Not only is it a seed, but it is an apple seed. Okay? Now, in this story, Jesus has compared the Word of God to a seed. And I have in my hand, now that you've seen it, I have an apple seed. Tell you what, I'll do it like this. I'll put it back on this little piece of tape, like this. Hopefully it won't fall off. How's that? Is that better? Oh, glory. Yeah, it works a little bit better. All right, this is an apple seed. Now, Jesus has compared the Word of God to a seed. Well, we're just picking an apple seed because I happen to have had an apple at home last night. Made it easy. Yes, Kathy wondered why I cut that apple open. If you're not going to eat it, then do something. Now, we look at this and we see a seed, okay? More particularly, an apple seed. Now, this apple seed, it's not just a seed. When we look at this, we're not just seeing a seed. What we are also seeing is everything contained in this seed. All right? We're seeing everything that this seed represents. So it's not just a matter of a little, you know, black dot on a piece of paper. This is a seed, but it's also everything that this seed represents. All we see is this little piece of something, but it represents much more, far greater than what we just see right here. Now, Jesus has compared the Word of God to a seed. This apple seed contains within it the program to produce apples. Now, in the natural, we do not see any apples in this, do we? Not in the natural. All we see is the seed. But yet contained within this seed is a pre-designed program that will produce apples. This, Jesus has said, is a seed. The Word of God is a seed. Contained in the Word of God is a pre-designed program to produce everything contained in the seed. Alright? Now, the seed, this apple seed, contains the program to produce apples. The Word of God contains the program to produce the apple seed. All right? Now, look over in John chapter 1. Leaving your marker in Mark chapter 4, turn over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you take this apple seed, and you go outside to an apple tree, anybody here ever seen an apple tree before? Well, you know, we used to have one in our backyard, and we would climb on it and play on it, and in the summertime the apples would grow, and sometimes we'd pick them, and sometimes they'd fall onto the ground, and then when I cut the grass, I made applesauce. Now, you take this seed, and you walk up right next to an apple tree, and you hold this seed up to that apple tree. There's not much of a comparison, is there? If you drop the seed on the ground, you have a hard time finding it. You're not going to miss the apple tree. But yet this seed contains in itself the program to produce that great big apple tree. All right? Everything about the tree, everything the tree's entire essence, the tree's entire nature, everything about that tree is contained right here in this seed. All of it. There is nothing about an apple tree that is not contained in this apple seed. Now, it may be hard for us to believe, but the only reason we do believe it is because we've seen it. And we've eaten the product of this little seed. We've eaten apples, or we've had apple pie and apple sauce and all of this other. We've had that. It all came from this thing right here. All of it. And so this seed contains the very nature, the essence, and everything about that apple tree. This is seed. It contains the very essence and the very nature of everything God is. And not only that, but everything He can produce. Everything that an apple tree can produce is contained right here in this seed. Everything that God can produce in your life is contained right here in this seed. Amen. It's all in here. Everything. This is an awesome concept. And this is why Jesus was comparing the Word of God to a seed. Because when I take a look at the Word of God, all I see is a book with pages, and on those pages are letters. That's all I see. When I hold this apple seed up, all I see is a little brown seed. That's all I'm looking at. But contained in this seed is the essence and the nature of the apple tree and everything the apple tree can produce. When I look at the Word of God, contained in the Word of God is the essence and the nature of who God is and everything that God can produce in my life. This is the seed right here. His Word. Now, not only contained in the Bible is the nature and the essence of who God is and everything He can produce, but contained in this Word is the pre-designed plan and program as to how everything in this can be produced. So it's not just a matter of it containing the nature and the essence of God and everything that He can produce in our lives. It's also the plan, the program for how those things are produced in my life. And you're going to see this even more clearly as we go forward in this. Now, turn back over to Mark chapter 4. And I want you to see something. Think of God's Word. He said the Word of God is a seed. Think of it like this. Think of your Bible as a seed bag. In other words, a bag that contains a lot of different seed. Okay? Or a seed packet or whatever. Now, in Mark chapter 4, look at verse 20 again. He said, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now look at the phrase there, and bring forth. Those two words, bring forth. Now this is an interesting phrase. Those two words, bring forth, give us the image and the concept of something being contained in something else and the container bringing forth that which it contains. or the container producing that which it contains. Do you remember when the in the book of Luke it talks about Mary being pregnant with Jesus? And it talked about the time of her delivery was at hand and so forth. And the Bible says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The firstborn son was in her. She was the container. She brought forth or produced outwardly that which was contained inwardly. Okay? Think about the apple seed again. We plant the apple seed. The apple seed begins to produce. It begins to grow. We have a tree. We end up with apples. In other words, the apple seed brings forth that which is contained within it. Likewise, Jesus has said that the Word of God is seed. Since the Word of God is seed, this bringing forth implies that something is being done by an individual so that they bring forth or produce in their life everything that the seed of God's Word contains. Until that takes place, it's nothing more than seed. Do you understand that? Until we plant this and sit down to some apple pie, it's nothing more than seed. That's all. And we can take this seed and put it on a shelf, and it's still going to be a seed 15 years from now. But the moment we do what we're supposed to do with an apple seed, we're going to end up with an apple tree and the subsequent apples. In other words, there's something we have to do with an apple seed in order to bring forth or enable this seed to bring forth that which it contains. Likewise, the Word of God is a seed. There is something that has to be done in order for this seed to bring forth into our lives everything it contains. If we do not do what we need to do pertaining to the bringing forth, if we don't do our part with the seed, then the seed can't bring forth in our lives. And I've just told you why it is a lot of Christians are living far beneath who they are in Jesus Christ. It's because they've got a seed bag and they're doing nothing with it. All right, now let's take it even a step further here. This seed that we have here, this apple seed, it cannot produce what it does not contain. All right? Think of it like this. I take this apple seed, I plant it, I come back at a later date, I look at the tree, I get mad, and I stomp my foot. I say, I can't believe this. I've waited all this time, I planted that thing, and I sat around, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and then when I come out here to get my kidney beans, they're not there. All I see is a bunch of apples. I don't need any more apples. I want some kidney beans. And I don't understand what the problem is. The problem is the seed did not contain kidney beans. The seed did not contain watermelons. The seed did not contain marigolds. This seed contains apples, and that is all it is ever going to produce is apples. And you can go out there and you can put a sign in front of the little tree that's growing up and put kidney bean tree. And you're going to be terribly, terribly disappointed when you go and you get apples. You're never going to get kidney beans from an apple tree. Likewise, the Word of God cannot produce anything other than what it contains. Now get a hold of this. The Word of God cannot produce anything other than it contains. In other words, think of it this way. The Word of God cannot produce sickness in your life. The Word of God cannot produce poverty in your life. The Word of God cannot produce addiction in your life. The Word of God cannot produce destruction in your life. And God operates within the pre-established framework of His Word. He does not operate outside of His Word. Therefore, if God is bound by and operating by the framework of His Word that He has established, that means everything that comes forth from God into our lives fits within the parameters of God's Word. Based upon that, we know that God does not make people sick to teach you a lesson. He can't make you sick because the Word of God can't produce sickness in your life. The Word of God can't produce your house burning down to teach you a lesson, your children being killed in a car wreck. God can't do that to you. You understand? He can't do it to you because it's not within the framework of His Word, because His Word won't produce those things in your life. The Word can only produce what it contains. And Jesus said, "My words are life and health." He says, "My word." He talked about the Word of God and declared what it was. He says, this is what He says. Listen, you find me, you find life. He said, "I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly." That's because it's the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means contained in the essence of the Word is everything that you can imagine about God. And because of that, we look in the Word and we find out that the Word can't produce sickness, can't produce destruction, can't produce any of those things in our lives. Therefore, those things can't come from God. Amen. And when people say things like, and well-meaning people, "Well, you know, I don't know why God just, you know, made me sick, try to teach me a lesson. I guess I just, you know, been missing Him or something. I don't know what He's trying to do in my life." All they're doing is exposing to you how much they don't know about God's Word. This is seed. The seed does not contain the fruit of sickness. It does not contain the fruit of poverty. It does not contain the fruit of disaster. It does not contain the fruit of sadness. It does not contain the fruit of unforgiveness. It does not contain the fruit of addiction. It does not contain that fruit within itself. It can only produce what it contains and nothing else. This is so important for us to remember, because when we turn around and start blaming God for things, if we can't find it in the seed, then it didn't come from Him. All right, let's go on. In verse 20, I think you're still in Mark chapter 4, those three things again: hear, receive, and bring forth. Now, there are a lot of people who hear, but there are very few people, it seems, based on what we see in people's lives, Christians now, all right? There are a lot of people who hear, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of people who are receiving. Now, let me clarify that. Have you ever heard somebody in response to a sermon say things like, "I receive that, I receive that, I receive that"? Somebody testifying about, you know, something in God's Word, whatever. "Oh, I receive that. Oh, yeah. Woohoo, I feel that one. I receive it." That doesn't line up with this right here. This word "receive," it doesn't mean to hear and agree with. This word "receives," this word "receive" in this, the framework of this passage, it literally means to hear, agree with, and act upon. That's what that word "receive" means. To hear, agree with, and act upon. Problem is, in the body of Christ, we've heard so many people say things like, "Oh, I receive that." "Do you receive it?" "Oh yeah, we receive it, preacher." All we're doing is really saying we agree with it. We agree that what you're saying is true. But by definition, in this passage, unless we act on it, all we've done is heard. We've heard and we've agreed, yes, that's true. But we're not receiving it, because, again, this word "receive" means to hear, agree with, and act upon. That's what this word "receives." Now, I want you to see something here in verse 20. Do you notice after the word "receive," the word "it" is in italics? Adding that word "it" implies that receiving is something that is totally and completely separate from bringing forth, when in reality it is not. Because the receiving and the bringing forth are intermeshed and cannot be separated. The hearing can be separated, but the receiving and the bringing forth cannot be separated. Because remember, receiving is hearing, agreeing with, and acting upon. If you hear and you agree with and you act upon, you're going to bring forth fruit. It's unavoidable. It is impossible. Listen to me. Get this so deep inside of you. It is impossible not to bring forth the fruit of God's Word if you are hearing, agreeing with, and acting upon, or as Jesus summarized it, receiving the Word. It's impossible. It is impossible, because the Word of God is going to produce everything it contains. This seed is going to produce everything it contains, which is a tree, which is a trunk, which are branches, which are leaves, which are blossoms, which are apples. It's going to produce all of that because it's contained. It can't help itself. This seed is incapable of not producing everything that it contains. Likewise, the Word of God is incapable of not producing everything it contains. But the difference is, you've got to go beyond just hearing it. You've got to hear, agree with, and act upon. Or in other words, you've got to receive it, because when you receive it, you're going to bring forth fruit. It's not an if, it's not a might, it's not a, well, pie in the sky, by and by, maybe kind of a thing. This is a guarantee. Jesus has declared, those who receive it are going to bring forth fruit. Look at this. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear and receive and bring forth fruit. Leave the word it out of it. Who hear and receive and bring forth fruit. That's the process. Receive and bring forth fruit. Receive and bring forth fruit. Receive and bring forth fruit. You can't separate that. Now, you can't just say, because I've heard it, it's going to happen. Let me give you an example. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible, what's that word?
Seed.
But of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, remember I told you to, in your mind, kind of draw the analogy of your Bible being like a seed packet or a seed bag with a lot of seed in it? Now, this verse 23 here, he says, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Just like Jesus was talking about, the seed is the Word. Now, here's the process. Somebody came along and reached inside and presented to me the seed of the of what we call the gospel message. Okay? Kind of what Jesus said in John, when he was third chapter of John, talking to Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. Right, somebody came along and began presenting that to me. It didn't matter how many times I heard it, and I grew up hearing it. And not only did I grow up hearing it, but I agreed with it. That's right, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're not born again and you won't go to heaven. I heard it and I agreed with it. But it wasn't until I received it that the seed was able to produce in my life. See? I heard and I agreed. Yeah, it's true. I heard and I agreed. Oh yeah, it's true. But the moment that I heard, agreed that it was true, and then acted upon it, at that moment, that seed was able then to produce in my life the fruit of a born-again spirit. It happens every time. It's unavoidable. It's guaranteed. The moment that you hear and receive, ye must be born again, at that instant, that seed taken out of your seed bag, planted in somebody, produces the born-again life. It is impossible for it not to do that. Because this is God's seed. He said, hey, listen, when my seed leaves my mouth, it will produce everything I sent it forth to produce. I paraphrase that verse. When my word, it goes forth from my mouth. And so, when I act upon that particular seed, it produces in my life everything it contains, which is the born-again life, the nature of God. And so people can hear and agree with all their lives, but until they receive it, hear, agree with, and act upon, until they receive it, it's not going to produce the fruit. All right, likewise, once I'm born again, and that seed has produced the born-again experience, or that born-again experience, life in me, from that point on, I can hear a whole lot of word, or be exposed to a tremendous amount of seed, but if I don't receive it, there'll be no fruit. If I don't receive it, it won't happen in my life. And it doesn't matter how many times I reach inside my seed bag and agree with something that I see in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, praise God. Yep. There's seed right there. You know, I can reach inside a natural seed bag and pull out seed and say, oh, well, look at there. Glory to God. There's a marigold seed. And look over here. There's a green bean seed. And look over here. Praise God. There's a morning glory seed. And I can agree to what every one of those seeds represents. But if I don't do something, I won't get marigolds, I won't get green beans, I won't get tomatoes, I won't get whatever other seed that I have. I won't get any of it. I just have a handful of seed. Do you understand? Right now as you sit there, you've got a handful of seed, and until you do something with it, you're not going to get the fruit. And this thing is guaranteed to produce. It is incapable of failure. This is God's seed, not man's seed. This is God's seed. It is incapable of failing. The only time there is failure is when we fail to receive it. That's the only time there can be failure. God's Word will never pass away. It is incapable of not producing everything that it contains. Now, likewise, I can hear all the messages about all the grand things contained in the seed bag. And I can say, yes, amen, that's right. And nothing ever happened in my life. 30 years from now, I'll still be saying, oh, praise God, I receive it, I receive it. And all I'm saying is, I agree with it, I agree with it, because for 30 years the seed has lied dormant on a shelf someplace. I've carried my seed with me every week to church, every crusade, every service. I've carried my seed with me, and I've never done anything with it. What would you think of a farmer that everywhere he went, he carries his seed bag with him? He said, what you got there, Elmer? He said, oh, bless God, got my seed bag back here. Elmer, you've been carrying that thing with you for 35 years. When are you going to do something with it? Like what? Plant it. You mean I got to plant it? Well, I figured those beans and them maters and taters and everything else just sprout out of this bag right here. No, Elmer, it doesn't work that way. You got to do something with it. This is exactly what's happening in the body of Christ. We've got people carrying their seed bag around with them every time they show up at church. What you got there, brother? Got God's Word. Oh, bless His holy name. What's it producing in your life? It's supposed to produce something in my life. It's seed. What are you doing with it? I'm supposed to do something with it? Instead, what we do, we take our seed bag and throw it on the shelf till the next church service, and then go over and sit in a chair and wonder why God's not doing anything in our lives. And He's given us the seed that contains everything that He is. And what's He supposed to do? It's all put right in our hands. If we don't do anything with it, what can we expect? If I don't do anything with my watermelon seeds, I can't complain come summertime if I don't have any watermelons. Look over in Acts chapter 1. I'll give you some examples of this. In Acts chapter 1, look what Jesus said. First part of this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you in here agree that's true? You know what? We go into any evangelical church. I'm talking a normal brain church here, not some of these flaky churches. We show this and read it, and I guarantee you, people in all those churches are going to stand up and say, yes, we agree with that. That's God's Word. It's true. Glory, hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Nazarene, Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assemblies of God. It doesn't matter. When we read that particular verse, everybody is going to agree, yes, this is true. But do you understand? It's not until I act upon it or receive it that there's going to be a coming upon and power. Until I do that, it's nothing more than seed that will produce in my life. This, do you understand this verse 8? This is the seed. When Jesus spoke, He released to us the seed. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. That is the seed. I can look at it, I can agree that it's true, but until I receive it into my life, the Holy Ghost will not come upon me and there will not be any power. But the moment that I act upon that and I believe it is the moment I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. That seed is incapable of not producing the fruit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It can't miss. It's a guaranteed. Likewise, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. If I speak in an unknown tongue, I edify myself. Jude, verse 20. If I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build myself up on my most holy faith. Both of those verses are seed. The one seed is telling me, if I speak in tongues, or if I pray in tongues, I will be edified. The other verse is telling me, if I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'll be built up on my most holy faith. Those are seeds, all right? Until I receive it, until I hear, agree with, and act upon it, there will be no edification and there will be no building up on my most holy faith. But the moment that I receive that seed into my life and I act upon it and I do what it says, I'm edified and I'm built up on my holy faith because it is God's Word. It has to produce. Amen. It can't miss. And so when people talk about edification, how do you get edified in God? He tells you right here. This is the seed, and it's guaranteed to produce in your life. So if I don't take this and go beyond just reading it and agreeing that yes, it is true, nothing's going to happen. In God's Word, in this seed bag, God has created a program pertaining to worship. He has placed seeds in the seed bag about worship and told us what the seeds of worship will produce in our lives. One of those is the presence of God. God inhabits the praises of Israel, okay? That is seed. God has defined that seed and told us what it will do. Praise, I inhabit. Praise, I inhabit. Here is the seed. Now I can read that and all the other things that talk about worship and praise and what that will produce in my life. I've got a whole handful of seed pertaining to worship and praise, but until I receive it, none of that's going to happen. There is a realm and a dimension of God's presence that I will never experience in my life if I do not praise and worship Him. Because He has said, in the seed, I inhabit. My presence is a fulfilling factor in your praise and your worship. And if you don't do this, here's the seed. If you don't receive it, you're not going to have that aspect of me in your life. And you can pray in tongues till you're blue in the face, but praying in tongues is not a substitute for worship. You can fast until you drop over from hunger and they have to give you CPR, but that fasting is not a substitute for worship. You can confess my word all you want, but that is not a substitute for worship. Worship is worship. And there is a part of me that inhabits that thing called worship. It is a seed. And when you take that seed and you receive it into your life, it will produce my presence in a way that you can't know any other way. And until you do that, your life is going to be completely void of my presence in that way. Because that seed will produce. That's how it will work. And so, I take this and I begin to read this and I say, praise God, I hear it. I agree with it. And then if I receive it, now listen closely to this. If I receive it, I will bring forth the fruit of worship. The act of worship is not the fruit. The act of worship is receiving the seed, hearing, agreeing with, and acting upon. The act of worship is not the receiving part. It's not the fruit. It's the receiving part. It's not the fruit. The fruit is Him inhabiting. That is the fruit. If I worship, I am receiving the seed that tells me He inhabits my praise. If I begin to worship, I am in the process of receiving it. Therefore, because receiving it is going to bring forth the fruit, I know it's just a matter of time before my worship produces the fruit of His presence. You can't get around it. This is God's Word. It's established. And it's forever. Look over in Psalm chapter 107. Kind of a summary verse in a way. You know how sometimes if you go out and you buy a seed pack and it says contents and it tells you what kind of seed is in that pack? What we're going to read is like a content of our seed bag. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. There's your content description. That tells you what your seed is in here. God sent His seed. Contained in His seed is healing for everything you can possibly imagine. Contained in His seed is deliverance from everything you can possibly imagine. This is your seed packet. It has to produce because it's God's seed, not man's seed. This will produce. It is impossible for this not to produce. It is impossible. Think of it like this. This apple seed right here, an apple tree and everything that is an apple tree has been condensed into this seed. Compressed into this seed. God and everything that He is and everything that He can produce in your life has been compressed into this book. When you take this seed and plant it, what has been compressed into it is going to be released in the form of a tree and apples. When you take this seed and receive it, it is going to produce in your life everything that has been compressed into it. Peace, joy, strength, healing, power, edification, everything. Everything. And when people say things like, I just wish I could get more of God into my life, here's the seed. This is what's going to produce it. Nothing else. Nothing. This right here is what is going to produce everything that you want from God. Everything you can expect from God. Everything you could hope for from God. Everything. And the only reason that you don't have what this seed contains is because you're not planting enough seed. It's because you're not receiving it. You may be agreeing to what it says, but you're not receiving it. You want more of God's presence in your life? The seed of worship will produce it. You don't worship, you don't get that kind of presence. Short and simple. He sent His word and healed. He sent His word and delivered. You want healing? You want deliverance? It's contained in the seed. It's all right here. All of it. You went so far as to act upon it, receive it, from the standpoint of being born again. Now you need to do it in every other area of your life if you want to see it produced. If you want to see these things. Now let me ask you a question. How much of your life, think about your life right now, how much of it has been produced by God's seed? Are you living in a harvest of what this seed can produce, or are you living in a harvest of what you have produced with your own works? There is a lot, I would say for the majority of the people in this room, there is a lot of our life that has been produced by this seed. But if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of our life that this seed has not had the chance to produce because we haven't had the guts to work the field and plant it. Look in Mark, back over there in Mark chapter 4. Verse 24. Jesus said, "Take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." With what measure you meet, or in other words, the degree to which you receive, hear, agree with, and act upon, that's how much fruit you're going to have produced. That's the 30, 60, and 100 fold. The amount that you take this seed and apply it to your life, you're going to have the crop. Let me put it another way. Your life right now, the way you're living, is a reflection how you as a spiritual farmer have used your seed. Now think about this. It's an indictment on the body of Christ. There are few people who are successful spiritual farmers. We sit back and complain and wonder why God hasn't done anything in our lives. When we go into some of these healing services, we better thank God that a man like Benny Hinn has plowed the field with seeds of healing to the point that it's producing fruit through him that touches other people. Because there's a whole lot of people in the body of Christ. Left up to them, they never see healing manifest in their body because they don't take the time to get into the seed bag and work the field of their life. Same thing applies with your prosperity. Same thing applies with everything that's going on in your life. No matter what it is, if it's not a reflection of what this seed contains, because this seed can only produce what it contains, then you need to be working. Maybe you've got all kinds of joy, but your financial situation is really, really bad. You need to start sowing some financial seed. The Word of God. The Word of God pertaining to those kinds of promises. Physical things. You need to get in here and pull out some healing seed and start sowing it and start sowing it. Folks, it has to produce. It can't not produce. It's impossible for it not to produce. And the more that you sow, the greater your harvest and the more fruit you're going to bring forth. It's impossible for God's Word not to produce. He said so. What's going on in your life right now you want to see changed? What do you want to see transpire? You've got the seed. It's right there. Every answer, everything, it's right there in your hands. There's no reason for a farmer with good land and lots of seed to starve. We've got a nature where the seed can be planted. And there's no reason for us to live in despair of anything when we've got the seed that can produce. It's totally up to us. So why don't all you farmers stand up?